this is, you know, this earlier also I dealt with it. Maybe this is a repetition, but very important. The 2021 circular of Reserve Bank, that these are the definition again, which I repeatedly said, no, I need to recover. But something, the MFI definition was having the collateral-free loans to the households having 3 lakhs of rupees, you know. Banks out, the MFIs, they require the kind of, you know, board-approved policies, which are very important. For what? For assessing the 3 lakh rupees. You know, that assessment of household income is very important, which is very, very, you know, interesting, but difficult to calculate. So what we have to do is, we have to ensure that we assess the income of the households properly. Now, SROs, the self-regulatory organizations have come into the picture and they prescribe the mechanism to assess the household income so that the kind of, you know, the prescriptions which is there, because that household limit is 3 lakh. Once we want to adhere to that limit, we should assess the income of the households in a proper manner. You know, it's kind of, you know, we must have a board approved policy regarding the pricing of microfinance, in the sense how the rate of interest, you know, is decided. Logically, I told you the rate of interest should cover my cost of funds, my margins, my premium, my cost of operations have to be covered, and ensure that this has to be approved by the board. But take care that it is not usurious, in the sense it is not very, very high. You know, you can increase your margin, but that will increase your interest rates. Now, that should not be usurious. That's the kind of point we have to remember here. There should not be prepayment penalties. That is what the RBI said, and we must follow it. You know, we must not insist on the prepayment penalties. You know, penalty for delayed loan repayment or the OD amount. The amount, you know, once you want to impose the penalty, you have to be careful, you know. Penalty on the delayed part is okay, but you cannot put the penalty on the entire loan which is outstanding, you know, or entire loan which is outstanding on a particular date should not be used for calculating the penalty. So calculation of penalty has to be more careful. This is what the RBI said in circular in 2021. The change in the interest rates, whenever the MFIs change the interest rate, they have to keep informed the borrowers, you know. Keep well informed in advance that we are going to increase our rates of interest from this to this. This, give them time, you know. It's not that you increase it overnight. Give them sufficient time so that they are aware of changing interest rates, which is there, you know. The interest rates, you know, they are also by SROs, they prescribe the kind of ranges for the interest rates. Please adhere to it. That is what is there, you know. Now, this qualifying assets, the income criteria, which I said, earlier it was 85, now it is reduced to 75. That 75% of the loans have to go to the households whose income is less than 3 lakh rupees. You know. Earlier limit was 85, now the limit has been lowered down to 75. If I have to qualify as a NBFC MFI, this is very important, you know. There is one more point which is there, and NBFC, other than NBFC MFI, please remember, I'm making a distinction. NBFCs, which are other than NBFC MFI, can lend to the microfinance up to 25% of their assets, you know. Up to 25% of the assets, the NBFCs can lend under the category of microfinance. You know. Earlier, this limit was 10% of their total assets. So this has, they have been given some benefit of extending the microfinance to the kind of others. You know. This is the kind of distribution of MFI, which I said always, you know, that where do I stand? You know, I said that the technology cost is very high for the small MFIs. Now, this is the kind of definition I put it, maybe less than 100. Medium-sized MFIs are having a loan portfolio of 100 to 500 crores, large, very large. This is what I gave you. Idea is basically to tell you that this is the way we have to understand that the small MFIs, they do face a problem when I go for the kind of, you know, technology. The cost of promoting technology is little high in the beginning, so that has to be taken care of. I'm coming to the last part of this presentation. What are the prospects for the sector to grow now? What are the prospects? I see few reasons, very simple. You know, this sector is going to grow at a compound annual growth rate of 35% to 40% per annum up to 2025. I expect a very high growth to come up in this sector. 35% to 40% per annum, this is the growth rate I'm envisaging to come up, you know. My second argument with this sector is, that's the kind of perspective I'm putting. The second advantage is, I have to reduce my cost of operations. How can I reduce it? reduce the salary of the staff, that is the solution. No, that's not easy. You know, what you do is you reduce your cost of operation through use of technology. Can I use substitute of technology for the kind of operations where it is done manually? You know, something, can I do it? We'll have to think on that. You know, the small loans, you know, the ticket size is very important. You know, this is because these loans are basically for short duration. These are small loans, so I have to be a little careful when I look to the growth of this sector. You know, these are small loans. I have to take care of a large number of borrowers who have to be served, who are outside the purview of the banking system. If I have to bring in, what could be the innovations, what could be the mechanisms to cater to these? Maybe technology is one very simple answer. But within that, can I develop a collaboration with the fintechs where I get a design of the products will undergo a change, where there will be innovative products and services which can be provided to the rural poor? This is one dimension which I thought I must share with you. SROs, you know, self-regulatory organizations. There are basically two major institutions, SADHAN and MFIN. MFIN is a microfinance institution network. That MFIN is a short form. Microfinance institutions, short MFIN. These are the two SROs which are approved by Reserve Bank of India. Now, more SROs, welcome. Because what they do? Because they are the basically, they keep an eye on the players in the sector. You know, this is very important. You know, larger the number of SROs, will have more watchful eyes, you know, who can keep an eye on the sector, so that two things will happen. They follow the instructions of the Reserve Bank of India. They take care of the borrowers who have to be at the center of the whole team. Third, the kind of suggestive guidelines of these SROs are adhered, you know. They are basically, they work under the independently, under the RBI norms. They have to follow certain RBI norms, but they work both these institutions, SROs, SADHAN and MFIN, they work independently, you know. There is a common code of conduct which was developed jointly by the both the SROs, you know. Ultimately, ensure the responsible lending, you know. Ultimately, ensure that the clients are, you know, taken care of, their interest is taken care of. This is what we have to also ensure that the Reserve Bank's, the regulatory norms are complied with. These are the SROs, again, you know, we'll have to invest little time on that, because these are the very important institutions which is going to come. The SROs have to see what? Basically, they have to ensure the orderly growth of the microfinance sector takes place, you know. And this is what I said, they take care of the interest of the clients, improve the extent of financial inclusion, serve those people who are outside the ambit of the banking system, you know. SADHAN is possibly the oldest, you know, body of the MFI. It's the association of the MFIs, which is the SRO also, you know. Also ensure that the credit histories are reported to the bureaus of the MFIs on a periodic basis, you know, so that we build a credit history, you know. Now you will ask me, what these MFIs or what these, you know, SROs do? This is just, I wanted to give a small point. When the definition of the 3 lakh per annum was decided, the SROs played an important role. They convinced the Reserve Bank of India that you need not have to have a definition of urban, rural, separate. Make it a uniform definition. This is what they succeeded in convincing the Reserve Bank of India. This is how the SROs play a role between the MFIs and the regulators, you know. So something like a bridge, you know, these SROs do work. When I look to the gender perspective, this whole microfinance, you know, I have a SHG, I have a PM, kind of, you know, Pradhan Mantri, Mudra Yojana, what we have a MFIs, all the sectors, the coverage is dominated by the women. Look to the last right column, you know. Something like that, you know, a large proportion of the SHGs were of women, maybe more than 80%, exact figure is something like 87% of the SHGs are of women, one. Secondly, in the Mudra, 68% of the loans, they are sanctioned to women, you know. Something gender bias, you know, it is more towards women, you know. More than 98% of the clients of MFIs are women, you know. So this shows a gender perspective for MFIs. Most of the loans are for women, you know. The 98% is not a small figure. More than 98% of the loans are to the women in case of MFIs. Very important to remember. So more towards women focused, you know. This is something, you know, again here I'm saying that a large proportion of the loans are sanctioned to women. That's taken care. The gender bias is looked to it, you know. when I talked to PMJDY, I gave these figures earlier also, so there is no point in repeating, but about 55% of the loans under Prime Minister Jan Dhan Yojana, they were of the women. This is what I wanted to highlight, you know. So most of the developmental programs, they take care of the women, which is a gender perspective I thought I must share with you now. This is one more area which is coming up, you know. Why it is coming up? P2P in the sense peer-to-peer lending, you know, is coming up, you know. Now, P2P lending cannot be undertaken unless it is registration is approved by Reserve Bank of India. What they say? There are certain conditions. But this is basically a platform. P2P is basically a platform, maybe a digital platform, which enables or which matches the borrowers and the lenders actually. It helps to match the borrowers and the lenders. Now, why should we talk? Some of the NBFCs are coming and they are working as P2P. This is what is going to happen. And therefore, I thought this is the kind of area which is going to come up. Maybe at the moment, we may not have much to say, but slowly this is moving. You know, this is basically a platform. P2P is a platform which enables the lenders and the loanees to get together. You know, this is the platform which charges both. They charge the lender, they charge the borrower. That's how they get a commission and the platform survives, you know. Some of the NBFCs are working as P2P, you know. They have to get registered with the Reserve Bank of India if they have to work as a P2P lender, you know. Peer-to-peer lending has to be there. What are the opportunities for the lenders? Are there opportunities? Yes, there are opportunities. What? One, they get a high rate of return, maybe about 30%. They can select their loanees. Yes, they have a chance to select on their own. Basically, they are security focused. Please remember, little away from what we talked in microfinance, but there are P2P lenders also working where the security is a focus rather than the project viability. You know, 90% of the transactions are unrecorded. This is what you have to remember. And they evade the tax in the process. You know, terms of contract can be modified anytime. That's an opportunity for the lender actually. They can modify the terms of contract, you know. Not very useful, but maybe we have to keep an eye on the P2P lending. That's what I want to give you a caution at this stage. 80% loans are less than 1 year. Microfinance, we saw the loans were for shorter duration. Here also the loans for shorter duration, but the other aspects you have to take care of it. It's a more risky actually. The risk is quite high, you know. Why it is high? I will explain to you. But understand here, the risk of lending is reduced by MFIs, by P2P. How? They diversify their portfolio. In the sense, have a large number of borrowers so that you diversify your loan portfolio and you reduce your risk of defaults or what we call as a credit risk, you know. What are the challenges for the P2P lenders, you know? Very tiresome recovery, you know, because here it is an online platform through which these guys get linked actually. The recovery process is tiresome. That's what the one challenge comes. They have a legal protection, but it is in the infancy, you know. This is what we have to remember. I wanted to give you this as the area which is going to come up. Maybe not much is happening as far as the microfinance is concerned, but slowly some of the NBFCs are going for P2P lending, you know. So this is what I thought I must share with you. And therefore, the slides have been incorporated. Let us say extent of technical assessment. They don't go for much for technical assessments, actually. They are locking for funds, but my understanding is the locking is fairly good for the unproductive purpose. 85% of the loans get blocked for the consumer durables or for unproductive purposes. Now, these are the kind of dimensions you have to keep in mind when you talk of P2P lending. You have to be careful. Look to your microfinance, which we started. We started for income generating activities and all those things. Here we are realizing 85% loans are for unproductive purpose or for consumer durables, which can turn into NPAs. Please remember, especially during the recessionary trend, this can happen, you know. So you have to be very careful when you get into the NBFC and then go for P2P lending, you know. The borrowers are at distance because these borrowers and the lenders have come into contact with each other through a digital platform. So, and that becomes a difficult, because that creates a difficulty in verifying the details of the loanees, because they are online, but they could only identify the loanees. The distance could be quite substantial between a lender and the borrower. What are the opportunities for borrowers? What we discussed in P2P in the first two slides was for the lender's perspective. Now here there are borrowers, you know. What happens? Here is a quick sanction, because it's an online platform, you know. relatively, I'm talking, the rate of interest could be an advantage for them. The third could be that this is for unproductive purpose, also it is allowed. Viability assessment is waived, actually. That's a kind of area. The fourth or the last point is the smaller loans, they find it difficult in recovering the loans. If there is a default, the recovery process becomes difficult, you know, for the lenders, actually. This is what we have to understand. You know. What are the challenges for the borrowers of the P2P, you know? The loans are for short maturities. I explained to you earlier also, but we have to remember that these loans are for less than 1 year, you know. High rate of interest, maybe the interest could be 15% to 24%, you know. Maybe we have a difficulties in managing the large number of investors, you know, because they raise the funds actually. The funds are there from the investor's perspective, but difficult, you know, to manage if they borrow it from two or three investors, if they borrow, difficult to meet the requirements of those two, three investors in case they borrow it, you know. Default penalty being high. Default penalty is high in case of the P2P lending, you know. As I said, they can change the terms of conditions of the contract of the loan. So therefore, you have to be a little careful when you talk of P2P lending also and relating it with microfinance. Just keep in mind this particular dimension, you know. The bankruptcy chances are high when you talk of P2P, you know, borrowings, you know, you have to remember, you know. This is what I wanted to share with the last part, which I repeatedly said, maybe it is coming as a separate kind of para, but let me focus on few things. Maybe some repetition is there. I will avoid that, you know. When I talk about the perspective, this sector is going to grow at 40%. This is what I explained to you when I showed you the small table, you know. Existing demand is put something like about 8.8 lakh crore is the demand, you know. Disbursement is hardly 2 lakh or 2.6 lakh crores, you know. So we have met only 1/4 of the demand, you know. So 3/4 of the demand in the microfinance sector is yet to be met, you know. Now this offers me a kind of, you know, opportunity for the sector to grow. Now my understanding or the research which is available in this area is showing that 2/3 of this growth, because I said the sector is going to grow at 40% per annum, fine. 2/3 of the growth will come from the existing customer. There will be two type of clients who will lead to this growth. One will be the existing customer, somebody will be the new customers. So existing ratio is that 2/3 of the growth will come from the existing customers, 1/3 of the growth will come from the new clients, from the new customers to the MFIs, you know. Two models, you know, I explained to you, microfinance is served through two models. One is the SHG BLP and second is the MFI lending, you know. The credit linkage of SHGs is going to take place. Maybe I'm thinking that it will improve with the passage of time, because I said now the banks will have e-bookkeeping, they will have a real-time data, so their credit decisions will be faster, so that more SHGs will get linked with the banking system. Maybe we may have a more credit deepening, you know, the average loan per borrower or average loan per member goes up with the passage of time, you know, and this is possible through digitalization of SHG records. This is what I wanted to share with you. The aggressive lending by MFIs, this leads to sometimes the over-indebtedness. Please remember this, or a debt trap. So MFIs have to be very cautious when they increase the credit deepening mechanism, you know. If they increase the loans to few borrowers, the size of the loan has to be taken care so that these borrowers are not put into the kind of debt trap, you know. We have to be more careful for this, you know. Basically, what we have to do is, the last sentence of this slide is very important. There is a need to integrate the microfinance with the other developmental and livelihood activities. Go for a convergence between the various developmental programs, between the livelihood programs and the microfinance. We have to have a linkage, we have to have an integration. That is where I'm seeing the growth of the sector, which is slated for 35 to 40% per annum. Till 2025, at least I see a bright future for this sector. Basically, these are, you know, they have to provide, I said, credit will not solve the problem alone. I have to go for a credit plus where I go for training, I go for technical advice, I go for market linkages, and ultimately the income of these households that increase, you know. So I have to follow a credit plus approach if I have to see that growth of microfinance sector has to happen. Here I wanted to give a little more input to you, you know. I am saying that training is very important, you know. But I'm using a word, the technical assistants. These are two different words. Let me explain you for a 1 minute investment for me, that the training looks to a general managerial processes. Training, when I talk, I refer to a general managerial processes. But when I talk of technical assistants, I refer to the production processes for which the income generating activities are undertaken by the people. Please remember, general managerial processes taken care through a training, but these guys, they also want a kind of, you know, technical aspects of production processes, which can be also provided, because these two things are different. They produce different outcomes. That's what we have to understand, you know. And we have to have a focus on both the things, actually. We should give a general training. We should also give a production practices. More technicalities have to be imparted to these people, you know, because they produce different outputs, actually. Basically, this is what I thought I must share with you. We have to focus on digitalization. You know. Maybe we have to go for digital collection, you know. As far as the disbursements are concerned, they have gone for the kind of, you know, mechanism, the loan amount gets credited to the accounts. But in case of collection, 95% of the collection of the MFI is still in cash. So a time has come where the MFIs have to work and see that the collection gets digitalized. Now, there where I'm going to play a role. The technology has to play an accelerated role in customer acquisition, loan processing, monitoring, and management of the groups. You know, this is where my technology is going to play. But I told you, maybe the cost of technology adoption is high. Maybe I require a collaboration with the fintechs or with the payment banks. Some collaboration will have to work based on the case to case. Nothing can be prescribed as a prescription or the prescription. We have to work on modalities. We have to look into the various options which are open and follow the route which suits to the MFI. Now, basically, you know, I explained to you that these are the kind of cash intensive. You know, 95% cash collection is there. So when I go for digital, we have to provide basically the digital literacy. To whom? To my clients. You know, who is going to provide? MFIs have to invest some money in digital literacy, because that is only the way we can ensure the digital recovery or digital, you know, client recovery takes place. You know, basically the RBI has given some relaxations to them. Only thing is, we have to. That is the last sentence, which has this bold letter. Let me reduce it and reproduce it. What we have to do is, we have to reduce the reliance of the clients on the informal sector. The loans from moneylender, the loan from relatives, friends, the exploitative rates of interest which are there, I have to reduce it. I have to promote the microfinance sector, which has the potential to grow at a rate of 35% to 40%. You know. Could be, you know, how could I do it? You know, how can I get it? You know, I have to look to something, you know, I have to be more cautious, you know. The areas which have seen a very high growth, you know, I have to be a little careful, you know. I'm not saying stop it there, no. But take care, especially if the growth is very high, the areas have reached to a saturation level, the MFIs have to be very careful, you know. The repayment capacity, I told you, hardly 50% income can be made available for repayment. The rest of the money has to be with the family to meet their consumption needs, to meet their family requirements, you know. Basically, we'll have to report the SAG banking linkage program. We'll have to report the data to microcredit bureaus, you know. This is the perspective I'm seeing in the years to come, you know. SROs have to be more proactive in the years to come so that, you know, the members follow a responsible lending, you know. The irresponsible actions of the MFIs are reduced, you know. They have to ensure the RBI compliance. They have to also ensure that the statutory auditors, sometimes it happens, the statutory auditors may not be able to address the issue because it requires a different set of skills, you know, different levels of competence, you know. So what I have to do? I have to go for regular training of my staff. I have to address my issue of attrition. I told you, maybe we have to go for more welfare orientation program to take care of the staff issues, you know. The lending agencies have to incorporate the social performance and responsible lending in their lending decisions rather than focusing on financial aspects alone. What I'm making a claim here is focus on social aspects also, you know. For example, the number of accounts versus deepening of accounts. You know. Deepening in the sense, credit deepening I can achieve very easily. But in the process, I'm ignoring that part of covering more borrowers, covering more people from the excluded sections of the community. So I have to go for a balancing act between the credit deepening and the credit widening, you know. We have to develop the partnerships between the MFIs and the payment banks, which I explained to you. With the passage of time, we'll have to learn these partnerships so that we are able to look to the kind of collaborations, you know. We have to look to kind of something like cash and remittance management of MFIs can be taken care by the payment bank, you know. For example, postal bank, I told you, they cannot give credit at the moment, you know, but MFIs can give the credit. So once you want to build this kind of relationship, you have to take care of it, you know. Peer-to-peer, we have discussed a lot, you know. So some of the MFIs, they are transforming themselves into P2P player, you know. But those conditions, those opportunities, those challenges, I've told you have to take care of it when you talk, especially of the microfinance sector, when you talk about this P2P, you have to be a little careful, which I explained to you quite detailed presentation we have made it for P2P lending, you know. The P2P and FinTech, all these have gone for urban areas basically. They are not gone for the rural areas. And that's one of the challenges we may have to see in years, days to come, that are they going to go into rural areas? Maybe this is where we have to see, you know. But it is argued that no shortage of clients. Enough clients are existing. We have to go for it. But one area which is coming now to limelight is the loan rejection rate has increased in the recent years. Because of what? Because of two things, you know. Household limit has been prescribed at 3 lakhs. Fairly good number of households have a higher income, so the loan application gets rejected. Here I want to give a caution. Assess the income of the households more carefully. Where the SROs have come to the rescue of the MFIs members, they say that you have to assess the income in a following manner. Let them follow in a prudent manner the income, you know. Second thing, the Reserve Bank has put a cap that not more than 50% of the household income can be made available for repayment. Now, there is a chance that if you commit a mistake on this, there is a rejection of the application actually. You can't put 70% of the household income for repayment. No, we can't do it because there is a cap now. Reserve Bank says not more than 50% of the household income can be used for repayment, you know. Now, error on these fronts need to be taken care when we appraise the applications, you know. These income levels have gone up in nominal terms, you know. There is an issue of inflation, you know. So these 3 lakhs have to be more careful with go with the passage of time. Let us see how we manage that, you know, nominal and real. Nominal and real, the difference is that in real terms, I take care of the inflation aspect. So this is where we'll have to take care of it. The 3 lakhs, you know, some of the households, they cross the limit and the applications get rejected, you know. But MFIs have to go to the new geographies. They have to go to new geographies. That will help them to diversify their loan portfolio. That will help them to go for more new borrowers, you know. They go for credit widening, you know. This is what is going to happen, you know. The SADHAN has developed a framework for income assessment, you know. And that is helping the MFI members to go for more prudent assessment of the income of the households and ensuring that the rejection rate of the applications goes down actually. It generates, please remember, it generates more of responsible lending, you know. These are the references which I thought I must share with you before we end the chapter. Large number of references we have seen. My idea is to look to the references which are of recent nature, you know, 2021, 2022, something if you want, you can have a glance of them at least, you know. Thank you very much.